SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour two, about 10 minutes into the hour, and we're going to have to put the spurs to it to get everybody involved, including Kate and Bradar, at the bottom of the hour, 10:30. And right now, Nick Tamaro jumps in. We're going to work on the late pick for tomorrow, and that's the Hooper, the McKnight, the two Pegasus races. Nick, of course, participating in the two-day Pegasus betting challenge with his man Joe, Philly Joe. And Nick, we'll wish you guys good luck first and foremost.
Thanks a lot, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. And you're ready to go. The action today starts at noon, and they've got those. That was a smart move to put those starter handicap races on the card. The claiming crown type races, because they made for some full fields, because last year in the Pegasus they had some meager fields, and it kind of made the betting challenge a little tough the first day.
Yeah, the back half of the card today is solid. Obviously, the first part is a little bit more of a standard Friday kind of offering, but I think it's just a matter of surviving that and getting to some of those late races, which are pretty competitive. One horse I'll throw out there that I like in the nightcap is the Philly for Michael Matz, who gets a big jockey change off kind of a troubled trip last time and should get quite a bit more pace to run at. So that's one that I'll certainly have an eye on.
Da Philly. It'd be tough for Philly Joe to pass that up.
Philly Joe will have to get involved with that, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you the other portion of Simon Says later. The late pick for tomorrow, we're going to make that our game builder focus. Last week we did the pick three. Let's get right into it, Nick, and talk about how to approach this sequence and, where you're going to go narrow and where you think a bit of a net has to be cast. And, of course, one of the storylines starting this in the Hooper is that Colefront appears to be out.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Obviously that changes that race significantly. He was going to be the inside speed and certainly looked like a very, very big threat. Certainly doesn't hurt any of the other horses that I like. I guess you'll have a pace scenario now where Conquest Big E and Breaking Lucky to a lesser extent are up our forwardly place as well as Aztec Sense. I think the horse that is, I don't know whether he's interesting or he's just one that you have to make a little bit of a decision on, is Coppertown. Because he was good in his comeback race at Keeneland. Todd Pletcher obviously had a very big run at Keeneland, and that was good enough for him to try the Cigar Mile, and he was 2-1 in the Cigar Mile, so obviously there were some expectations. A lot like what had happened at Keeneland, he broke poorly, and that put him against up against it. They made a big wide move around the turn, and that was the day at Aqueduct, where as it went on, the inside certainly seemed to get better. So I think Coppertown did some of his running against the grain of the racetrack. I'm going to use he and Aztec Sense as A's. They make the most sense to me as horses that are not only winning types, but look to have the right kind of style. And probably in a slower paced race without Colefront, they're going to be in an even better position, with given that one of them may have had more than likely Aztec Sense would have had to do some of the dirty work chasing him. So I think it'll actually work out quite well for each of them. And really, the alternatives didn't look all that appealing to me. Unbridled Juan is in better form than he's been in a while. He's actually started to figure out how to win races lately, something that he's always struggled mightily with. But it seems like banking on him doing this against a tougher field in a race like the Hooper is just a little bit of a stretch in terms of making him an A horse.
So let's identify the A's again.
Yeah, A's are going to be Aztec Sense and Coppertown.
So the 6 and 8 as the A's.
And I'm going to use 2 C's, Breaking Lucky, the 4, and the 9, Unbridled One.
Very good. The McKnight, big bulky field, and this group talked a little bit with Marty McGee just now, and the maker The Maker horses, I thought, down inside, Suglio and Zulu Alpha. Certainly Hunting Horn's presence in a part of the weekend festivities on the European import front. What are we doing in here in the McKnight?
Yeah, I actually think you have to use all three of those you just laid out. Both Makers, obviously, you won this race last year with Oscar nominated, and Solio is a horse that's improved quite a bit since he's gotten into his care. He's certainly turned him into one of these longer-winded routers, and the mile and a half should be the odd mile and a half cutback that's going on here for Solio, I think, certainly makes him a big player. I'm going to use Zulu Alpha as well, who faced much, much tougher in the Fort Lauderdale, and we talked about that race back in December and said that it was a grade two in name only. It absolutely had a grade one caliber field. I think he was just in a little too tough. But getting back to a mile and a half like he did in the Sycamore when he was victorious with a great trip and ride that day feels like he's going to be in a good spot throughout and is a major player. I think you have to use Hunting Horn. You know, looking at Hunting Horn's two most recent races in North America, he chased an insanely fast pace in the Secretariat before tiring and made a big middle move in the Breeders' Cup Turf in a race that had a fast pace. So I think that in a slightly slower-paced race against much, much weaker competition than he faced really in both of those two, more so the Breeders' Cup Turf, I think he becomes a major threat. I'm also a little too scared of Kinesar, and I'm going to have to use him as well, who rallied into a modest pace in the Stars and Stripes and now comes back off a layoff. Arnaud Delacour is 31% with turf routers, 180-plus day layoffs, good for a 256 ROI. So that's an even better mark than he shows just off his regular 180-day layoff. So this feels like a horse who can be ready off the bench. And the one oddball that I'm going to throw in is my old friend Highland Sky, who I think has always been at his absolute best on firm turf. I think if you give him the excuses of the turf being wet in the Turf Classic and the Bowling Green, I think that he has a real shot, should get a good trip inside, should get some pace in front of him. So I'm going to be a little bit wider here than any other leg and hopefully catch. I mean, I think favoritism in here is going to be somewhere around 7-2 or 4-1, so hopefully we can get a little bit of the price.
So the 2-4-8, Makers and Hunting Horn are the A's, and then B for Highland Sky and Kinesar, or
yeah,
is everybody
exactly.
Okay?
2-4-8 is A's, B's 1-7.
Any C's at all? Anybody that
11-12 is C's. Mark it off, and Village King, I'm going to use as C's. Village King is he's going to be a little bit hard pressed, I think, to get the distance, but he's probably going to be forwardly placed early and banking against some of these top Fletcher horses down here can be a little risky.
Well, and I'm glad you brought him up because he's going to be a little bit, he's a little, as Andy says, he's a little dirtied up with the off the turf and you know, the race in the Harlan's Holiday, which is a bit of an oddity. Todd just wanting to see, you know, how he got over a main track, you know, main track. And I put a big question mark by him. I didn't know what to think. Todd, historically, Todd has had some success with these types. So I'm
yeah,
glad you're.
Yeah, Hi comes to mind, too.
Absolutely.
Who ran well at Gulfstream last winter and then won the Man of War.
Exactly. Let's go to the features and stay on the turf, of course, for the mile and 3/16. This has got the length of the stretch, basically, for horses to gain position. So the 10-horse field here, you know, nobody hurt by the draw, pretty much. There is some pace in here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the presence of Fahan Mura just about guarantees that you're going to have some pace. And I think Doobie Doobie will be a little bit forwardly ridden from the outside, too. I know our man Luch foreshadowed that a little bit on Twitter. So I don't think the pace is a concern whatsoever. I think that's probably going to help both of the horses that I like, one of whom is Arrowless, who I really don't know how I can make a case against her. Some of the races she's run in Japan, and granted, this is a difficult ship. It's a situation where she's facing nails, but her second in the Yasuda Kinnan is the best running line in this race by a mile. So anything close to that, obviously a filly who prefers firmer turf, usually the footing in the Far East is a little firmer, I think will only help her. I'm going to use her, and I'm going to use Bricks and Mortar as the two A's and try and hope that one of those two gets the job done. I think that they'll each get a fair setup. I think Bricks and Mortar's comeback was very, very strong. I don't think that was a bad field by any means. I thought that he and Mr. Cub peeled away from that field a little bit late. Mr. Cub's a stakes caliber horse, especially down in South Florida. I know it's a bit of a class test for Bricks and Mortar. This is a horse I've always had an affinity for and one that can really produce a good late burst. So while the mile and 3/16 may be just a tad longer than he wants, I think the situation that he faces here is really going to help all in all. And I just think there are enough knocks on some of the other horses in the race. Yoshida did win off the layoff when he won the Turf Classic last year at Churchill. That had a lot to do with a wet turf course that he handled. He obviously likes a little cut in the ground, and he's not going to really get much of it. I even though there was some rain here yesterday, I think it's going to definitely be a firmer type of course. And Channelmaker's the same kind of situation. He wants a little bit of give in the ground. He did not have an ideal setup in the Breeders' Cup turf. But so I'm going to use both of those as backups and the hope that we'll get a little bit of a price either with Aerolith or Bricks and Mortar.
So 4-7 as your A's, the two Mots, the two and the three as B's. Any C's?
Magic Wand, Delta Prince, and Catapult. 189.
Yeah, I talked about Delta Prince earlier, who I think is very interesting in here and should be forwardly placed behind the speed and I think is a dangerous commodity. Let's go to the feature, and Nick Tamaro with us. It's Game Builder, brought to you by the National HBPA, and we're helping you understand how to utilize the ABC method to build tickets. Then we'll weight them with higher increments for the A's, and then a little bit less for the A's and B's, and then the A's and C's, and we'll lay it all out for you again this week. What are we doing in the feature?
You know, I think obviously the pace situation in the Pegasus is going to be a big concern, mainly trying to figure out whether City of Light is going to get pressed on the front end. I think that the field is in a way at City of Light's mercy. They're at Javier Castellano's mercy, given that this sort of has to be a pretty clear-cut scenario where they break from the gate and he's sent to the lead. I just don't know if he's the kind of horse that they want to end up having to chase around there. Pattern Recognition drew very poorly and is going to have to be ridden very, very hard out of the gate to put any pressure on City of Light. And if that happens, I do think it opens up the door to an extent to some of the horses from well off of it. But it just feels to me like if that happens, then Accelerate is going to get an ideal setup. I know there are some negatives with Accelerate. Obviously, he had some broken training, not being able to get to the track necessarily every day. He didn't miss a workout. And his last workout, according to every observer, was one of his best in his entire career. And I do think when push comes to shove, this is a scenario not entirely dissimilar from last year where you had Gunrunner and West Coast, and they were just better than everybody else in the field. And I get that impression. I think especially at a mile and an eighth, if this was a mile and a quarter, you'd probably give a horse like Gunavera a little bit more of a look as a main type of play, but I'm going to keep it very simple and just use the two principal City of Light and Accelerate as A's and use just a couple of backups.
Who were the backups?
I'm going to make Gunavera a B because I think there are some 2B ticket setups where you'd like to have him in there. You know, think of a situation where one of the prices along the way ends up getting there. Especially as a backup, you'd want to be alive to Gunavera. So I'm going to use Gunavera as a B, and I'm going to use Audible and Seeking the Soul as C.
So the 4 and the 10, the 4 and the 10. So 3-5 as A, the 8 as a B, and the 4-10 as the C. So the prime A ticket is 2 by 3 by 2 by 2. So we're looking at a multiple of 24. How many times do we punch that?
Probably 1.5 times, and then if there's any adjustments to it after scratches, we can maybe kick that up a little bit, especially if anybody that we used is taken out, and see if there's any need for substitutions. This is about the bare minimum in terms of who I would use. There are some backups that might be, that you might use some potential backups that you might throw into the mix if there's an adjustment that has to be made along the way. But that 2x3x2x2 ticket is pretty much the main focus, and with any kind of luck, it'll shake out.
$36 on that front, and then there's only 3 A and B tickets, and then the 4 C tickets. I'll put the whole thing together, and we'll get Nick's okay on it mid-morning tomorrow. Nick, good luck today to you and Joe and everybody playing. And, you know, for those that are still on the fence, I hadn't mentioned, Laurel and Golden Gate are satellite locations as well as much as Santa Anita and, of course, Gulfstream, and you can still get signed up at ExpressBet. $12,000 buy-in. That's your bankroll, close to $500,000 in prize money. So, Nick, go get it. We'll be watching for you on the leaderboard, and we'll talk on Monday.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Nick Tamaro, folks, and Tam, 1215 Game Builder, and we're doing these bankroll management and structural suggestions. $1.50 for the A ticket. The A's with the B's will probably be $1, and the A's with the C's 50 cents on the pick four. And you know, we add it all. Add it all up together. This will end up being 36. Probably another 36, 72. Probably be about an 80. Probably about $84, somewhere between $84 and $96 for this pick four play, and I'll put it together for everybody. My Oaklawn action is up already at the website. We'll talk to Mary Rampolini in hour three. Right now, we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Let's turn it around, come back, and check in with Caitlin Bradar, and she and the TVG team. They swarmed Gulfstream for this weekend, and you can watch it there. We'll talk to Caitlin next at the races. Weekend preview 90 in, 90 to come.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
But let's be honest. We know you. Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just awakening.
Cairo Emerald out of the Netherlands with Back It Up. And we're going to back up Nick's visit on the action at Gulfstream with Caitlin Bradar making her first 2019 winter visit. And Caitlin, one of, I think there's what, a crew of 39 people covering the action down there this weekend for TVG?
Close. We are out in force, and very happy to be here with everybody. It's kind of nice that more often we're getting the whole team out for big races like this, and I think we'll even have some extended coverage for Holy Bull next weekend and periodically through the meet for any of the big races. So it's a lot of fun.
Outstanding, and virtually nobody left in the studio in California. And
right.
That's all right. Well, Caton, of course, on the scene year after year, providing not just the handicapping, but some physical evaluation, too, and invaluable input. Caton, let's dive right into this. A lot to do. A mammoth card of nine stake races, and we'll work from the feature backwards, your Pegasus thoughts.
It's funny, I've changed my opinion a few times about it as far as who the winner is and how to approach it. But, I mean, just as far as depth, this is really going to be a lot of fun, I think, because, you know, years past we've had the standout, and this year I really don't feel that's the scenario at all. I think Accelerate may get the trip, but he sure looks fantastic. I think he looks better, even better than he did going into the Breeders' Cup, and that's saying something. But City of Light is the most just amazing-looking horse and has taken things in stride. He's full of himself, but he's confident. He's schooled in the paddock. He just looks tremendous. Mike McCarthy is feeling really confident in him. I just feel those two might separate themselves a little bit. But I'm going to use on my tickets, and pick four tickets, especially Guinevere, who I don't know if he's quite good enough to win with those horses if they run their A game. But that said, I've never seen him look better than he has, and I've seen him his entire career. He trains like a different horse to me than he did when he won the Florida Derby. So with the home court advantage, so to speak, and his affinity for this track, and the way I think this race could unfold, I really think Guinevere has a chance. And I'm a little concerned about City of Light in terms of positioning because, to me, pattern recognition draws to the outside, leaving very little choice with that post position. I would have thought that he would be a very interesting play, but I just think that's going to be a lot to overcome with the 12 hole. But he's going to go for the lead. There's no secret about that. If he's left alone, he'll be very tough, even with the 12 post. So I don't think that's going to happen. And I think City of Light becomes forced into a position that I don't think they would want to be in as far as posting the challenge early. So I'm kind of leaning toward Accelerate and Guinevere instead of City of Light for the win. But those, to me, are the three horses that that one of those three, I believe, is the most likely winner. The other horses take nothing away on their best day. But I just think that those each of those three is like the standout. And I'm probably leaning toward Accelerate, although earlier before the draw, I've really been leaning toward City of Light.
If there's an outsider to consider, and there's plenty of people, you know, working overtime here to try to elevate, you know, past the obvious, who's your outsider that you think could impact this, you know,
well,
if not on the win end?
Timber is, you know, not a horse that's getting much discussion. And, you know, his pedigree just screams the distance, more distance than what he has previously been running. I know his only prior tries weren't very good, but it seems to me if he is a better horse now than he was, which it would seem to indicate that he is off that second to pattern recognition. If you like pattern recognition, then I think you have to kind of consider True Timber. And so he would be the horse at a price that I would kind of throw in there. You know, I have a lot of respect for Seeking the Soul, but he just didn't have that turn of foot that I think you're going to need here. But I mean, I guess some would say the same for Guinevere. So, but I respect Seeking the Soul. I think, I kind of am on the camp with the people that feel that the others, the Coco Cons, he's interesting. He's earned a right to be in there, but I don't see him quite as fast as these horses, quite as good. but you never know because he's beaten everybody he's faced. So we really don't know how good he is. I realize that his times are slower, and, you know, my guess is that he's not a hitting the board type, but I definitely respect the horse because that's not easy at any level against anybody to stay undefeated that way.
Before we move on, I want to mention that at 2 o'clock today in the Breezeway, Dwayne Lucas and Christina Basanakis will be together to sign the Sermon on the Mount, the Dwayne story. And I bring that up not just to remind people who might be on their way to the track today and the opportunity to meet Wayne and get a copy of the book. It's $40 and really a unique opportunity. A horse that I have not had any interest in his entire career, I'm going to use tomorrow here, and that's Bravazo. First start at 4, obviously, and working really well at Oaklawn. And I don't see why he doesn't get an absolutely perfect up-the-rail trip, saving ground every step of the way. Luis Saez has been, you know, ridiculous down there since the meet started and is reunited with Bravazo. I'm including him, and I think, you know, the 12-1, I think he'll be higher than that, and I'm not leaving him off tickets.
I can understand. I have been wrong on this horse every start of his life. So, you know, I will say he looks great. He doesn't. He amazes me in his. You know, he's kind of a throwback horse in terms of being able to dance every dance and come back for more. And his last two were very good races. There's no question. I wouldn't talk anybody off of him, especially based on what I've seen. I saw him in the morning yesterday. Wayne took and schooled him in the paddock, and he galloped. And he galloped later. He was in daylight. And you know he's doing well when when Wayne brings him out where everybody can see him.
there's some inside baseball, folks.
he's actually first at the barn, and if it's a good horse, Wayne is always sending him out first thing in the morning. But when they're coming in, great. He takes the opportunity to let them look around and see everything, and also for everybody to see them. So I think the horse is on top of his game for sure.
Yeah, the Bravazo backers will undoubtedly get on board tomorrow with him. Let's hit some highlights. I know you've got a production meeting at 11, so let's zip through.
Well, actually, we go on the air at 11, so I'm gonna,
all right.
We are going to zip through. So we did
all right.
Pegasus preview show. So I want to, the turf,
yep.
I love, to me it's two horses, Bricks and Mortar, I think is going to be very tough in there, get a very nice setup. I like the way he drew. But I think the filly Aerolit, I feel, is going to run a huge race. She's shipped beautifully. She handled everything. She's carrying good flesh. She looks tremendous. She seems to be very composed and professional. And, you know, I think she's run against some of the best horses in Japan, and that probably puts her among the best horses here or any place else. So I think you've got to respect her. And, yes, it's been asked so many times. Low, I think, will be at 112. He usually tacks 114, so it's not that hard for him. He's very light, fortunately, and that's kind of how he, I think, why they gravitated toward him in the first place to ask. So we're excited about it in the Radar household.
I don't blame you at all. And you know, the 112 is a significant break. And, of course, Magic Wand gets it as well. Part of it is the filly allowance, and the other part of it is the no Lasix allowance being taken advantage of. Channel Maker running without Lasix, too, and gets 5 pounds for that. Or is it 5 or more? Is it 5 or 7?
I think it's 7.
7, I think, is right. So, all right, let's. What about the McKnight? What are you doing there?
McKnight, I went round and round. I'm definitely using Soglio, as well as Zulu Alpha. And I was kind of wondering if Todd's horse would be able to kind of transition to the distance. It has a little speed, and I think might be comfortable with Johnny B, that's Village King. So I'm kind of eager to see what he does, because to me, he might have a real easy, comfortable time on the front. So the question is whether he can handle the mile and a half. But I kind of feel like his form back in Argentina suggests that he might be able to.
The pick four starts with the Hooper. Looks like Cole Front has come out. Thoughts there?
Very tough race. That's my spread race more than any other in the sequence for the pick four. Todd's horse that remains, I really do respect, but I don't think, you know, I'm going, I think I said, with that horse out four deep and don't have, you know, more toward the outside horses. The ones I'm avoiding are the throwout Storm Advisory, Conquest Big E, for me, just because of the pace scenario. I thought Breaking Lucky might be capable of running a big, big race.
Breaking Lucky, Aztec Sense, Coppertown, and I suppose
yep.
Unbridled Wand, those are your four? Nice, okay.
Yes, exactly.
We haven't talked this morning yet about the Prevaillant at all. The fillies and mares, they're going the mile and a half, and I actually myself have been a little remiss looking at this race, but Chad Brown's got Santa Monica, who acquits herself usually.
Yeah, I'm eager to see her. I like her quite a bit, but I also like Holy Helena. I've been sort of waiting to see, you know, kind of that breakthrough race. She's obviously a classy filly, and she's won in Greatest Stakes Company, but I just always felt like there was a little something more, and that if we ever saw it, she might be, you know, head and shoulders above the rest. She gets a little worked up sometimes, so I'm kind of going to look at her in the paddock, too, to see what her composure is, but I do like her quite a bit.
And, of course, Jimmy Jerkins for Frank Stronach, and you've got to expect that Jimmy and Jose Corrales are doing everything in their power to make sure that the horses wearing those Adena jackets will run well. Frank's usually good for a trip to the winner's circle on these kinds of days, whether it's at Pimlico or at Santa Anita. He has an uncanny knack of getting down to the winner's circle. You know, we should mention, John Service has taken over Tricky Escape, and, you know, Tricky Escape, a very nice race mare. Lynn Ashby did a wonderful job with this daughter of Hattrick, and John Service has had her for a couple of months, and I'm anxious to see the reports on her. Mike Welch will join us later, and we'll be looking forward as well to the report on the DRF Clocker information. So Tricky Escape always... I always look at her three times in any of these spots. The Hurricane Birdie, 7/8 for the fillies and mares, and here is the newly crowned champion sprinting female, Shamrock Rose.
And, you know, I think with Dream Pauline in that race, you're going to get a really nice race here with several options, although I'm leaning toward Shamrock Rose, but, you know, Blame is coming off her layoff but win, which I thought was kind of a neat effort that, you know, signaled maybe we're going to see more from Blamed as well as she continues to mature. But I do think this race starts with Shamrock Rose. That's the kind of my top pick in there.
That horse, Joe Orsino, actually, I kind of got an eye on from a fig standpoint. She's a cut below. She's a Shackleford, and she has got such a nice record at Gulfstream, and she is edging forward. And 7/8, I'm going to put Ms. Meshack somewhere in my plays, and she's a monster price. So I just want to point that horse out. She seems progressive. It's the kind of horse I like to use. What are you doing in the South Beach?
Let me take a look. I got my pages stuck together. There we go. South Beach, I like the... this is a horse that's going to be a little price, and I thought she probably should have won her last, but I thought Vendita was a price play that I'm going to use. I don't know if I'm going to end up using her to win, but I think she's going to run a huge race, and she's going to be huge odds. So, I'm not sure that she's a win, but this is a race where really, truly anybody had a shot. So you kind of hunt around and watch the tote board a little bit, but I'm kind of working around her to use her because I think she'll be one of the longest shots on the board. And, you know, I liked Andina Del Sur, but I felt like she should have won last time. These turf races, Steve, especially the 7.5 furlongs, it's all about trip. And I wish I could, you know, I had a magic ball to be able to predict how things shake out. But I've seen even the best riders in the world get kind of hung out or stopped. And it's just, it really becomes a very tricky type of scenario to handicap. So that's where I really think you do, you spread, you go for value, you really try to use some of the bigger priced horses because they've shaken things up more than anything. I mean, you know, Road to Victory, I think, is probably going to get a little overbet with Irad and Mark. And, I mean, she certainly could win it, but I just don't think that she stands out in the field. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there's a couple of weird things going on here because you got some horses that are moving around, including Fizzy Friday, that is now with Nacho Correas and has been with him for a nice period since leaving the barn of Phil D'Amato in December. I mean, Fizzy Friday set up shop in December at Tampa, and 10-1. I'm a little intrigued by Fizzy Friday. Ian Wilkes moves Everyone Loves Jimmy to the grass. We talked about her the other day, and she might end up on a loose lead, and I would be very careful about ignoring her because they may be having to catch her when they turn for home. So a very nice addition to the South Beach. I'll let you go here, Caden. We'll talk.
Oh, I'm going to throw out one.
Oh, go ahead.
My best price play in the fifth, which is the ladies' turf sprint. I love Ms. Mayhem. I think, again, we're going to get a little price, and I see that Rosario's named a rider for Eddie Pleasa, and I just feel like she's also sitting on a monster race. She got a not good trip at all last time.
Well, and Joelle, probably a not that there's anything wrong with Edgar Zayas, but that this is a kind of horse that he could be really, really good with. And it's not as if there's anybody in here that is grabbing you by the lapels and screaming, bet me. So you're getting 12-1 to start the bidding in Ms. Mayhem. So there's a nice couple of nice prices from Caten Bradar. Follow Caten on Twitter, C. Bradar. Caten, I appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking next week ahead of the Holy Bowl.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Caten Bradar, folks, TVG, and the full complement of TVG, including the newly inked Gabby Gaudette Cassie, now working full-time. Let's take a break. Come back real quick because we got to get to Scully. We'll get Scully's plays in short order, including probably some Oaklawn look from him because Scully's like a one of them Sierra Madre gold prospectors. He's doing everything. He's looking, panning for gold everywhere. Back after this, weekend preview continues here on SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here we go down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone.
We're back at the races. A little bit of Spoon, and coming back to James Scully, and got a bunch to do with Scully. Jim, first of all, what about last week? Let's get a quick Kentucky Derby report. Your thoughts on the Pasco and the LeCompte.
LeCompte. Hey, good morning, Steve. Yes, yeah, Warwell made his first start on a fast dirt track in LeCompte, and I thought he looked really good. Winning that race, you know, Tyler Gaffleone always appeared to have a lot of horse stock in the pace along the backstretch. The colt, Warfront Colt, pulled himself to the front on the turn, and when he was given his cue, he drew off and, you know, won as much the best by open lengths. You know, it's January, and that competition, it was a mile and 70 yards, and that competition was a little questionable. But it's really like for these three-year-olds, when you're looking at them, is, hey, do you think they're going to keep moving forward? And War of Will has that look to me for Mark Cassie. He's, you know, his dam is by Sadler's Wells. There's all this stamina in the female family. But he does have a half-brother who was a great Group 1 winner at 2 with no plotter. And, you know, Warfront provides some speed there on top, theoretically. So a really nice pedigree, a really nice race. We'll see if he does continue to move forward, but I like him right now. Win. It just blew the doors off of that field in the Pasco at Tampa Bay by Hat Trick, Live Oak Plantation Homebred, Michael Trombetta trains. And, you know, I liked how he came home. I mean, he looked good doing it. I mean, he's out of a mare by Smarty Jones, his second maternal dam's by Unbridled. So the pedigree is there. It's just a matter of whether or not he's built to do it. And we'll find out next time with Win.
Let's dive right into the weekend. And the weekend starts literally now in the next couple of hours. And Oaklawn kicks off today as well as the season at Sam Houston. And the Smarty Jones really came up interesting because it's a bit of a mix of regions, and the Remington crowd, the Springboard Mile, which has become increasingly important the last several years, kind of mixes in with fairgrounds and Oaklawn, the proving ground.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Four qualifiers at Oaklawn Park. The Smarty Jones only worth $150,000. In 3 weeks, we get the Southwest $500,000. And then in mid-March, the $1 million Rebel, mid-April, $1 million Arkansas Derby. And, you know, there's been 23 qualifiers at Oaklawn. Baffert and Pletcher have won more than half of them, six apiece. 901 has a horse in the Smarty Jones. So All eight horses have worked over the track, and you know, to me, this race the last 2 years was uncontested 2 years ago, and the ill-fated Merino last year. Horses, you know, got out there on the front end, sped wire to wire, and I like Gray Attempt as well. There's some pace in that. He's the favorite, number eight. Jinx Fires trains him for Dwight Pruitt, and he's the son of Great R. But he comes off a real sharp win in the Sugar Bowl. That six furlong race at Fairgrounds on December 22nd, I thought that race had more early speed in it than the Smarty Jones, Steve. You know, Bulldor has some pace. Long Range Toddy could show, could try to, you know, be a factor from his inside post. But I do think there's a chance that Sean Brismahan and Gray Attempt are just going to sprint clear in the start and lead wire to wire.
And I don't even think that he absolutely has to do it. If something should go awry or if there's some issues, and, of course, one thing that happened was the decision by Tom Van Berg. I tweeted this earlier this morning after hearing from Tom that Jack Van Berg will run tomorrow in the allowance. And very interestingly, his father, the great JVB, he did the exact same thing 3 years ago with Cut a Corner. Cut a Corner was entered in the Smarty Jones. They scratched, and then he won the allowance a couple of days later. So Tom pulling a page from Dad's book.
Let me just say one thing about that, Jack Van Berg. That allowance tomorrow, I suggest everybody check in and watch that. It's race number 7 on tomorrow's card. Mm-hmm. Number 5 in that race is Jersey Agenda, and he really looks like a runner for Steve Asmussen. He comes off a smashing maiden win on a wet track. The horse that ran third came back, Malpays, and crushed sprint rivals at Fairgrounds. I know he's by Jersey Town, which, you know, might make you like, you know, a little shake your head a little, but that's the female family of Tonalist, Horse of the Year, Hob de Grace, Risk Averse. I thought that was a dynamite maiden win by Jersey Agenda, and I'm looking forward to seeing him open his three-year-old season tomorrow in race 7 at Oaklawn.
Now, that damn Risky Agenda, Dyna former mayor, and absolutely loaded with stamina. And, of course, Spitestown's Spitestown, the sire of Jersey Town, and there's no telling about stretching speed with that kind of female support. I said to Tom, I said that allowance may be as tough as the stake is today, but looking forward myself. We had Jinx Fires beginning of the year, and very excited for Jinx to have what looks to be the next arch for him on the trail toward the Arkansas Derby. So best of luck to Jinx. Any other thoughts about today and anything else beside before we get to Gulfstream?
You know, I'll give a couple of Larry Jones. Larry Jones doesn't race a lot at Oaklawn, but he had two runners last year, a win and a third. He's won a bunch of stakes with classy horses. Race number 6, he's got this lovely flash, filly by Istan making her second start. I thought that was a pretty nice maiden race last time. That Marathon Queen could be a nice one for Asmussen. Ran fourth that day, looking for her to improve upon that race. And then even a race number 7 at an expected better price, number 11, Istan Council, ran into a buzzsaw in her first race, Unholy Allowance, when she was second. Came back and broke her maiden wire-to-wire at Keeneland Steve by 5.5 lengths. Earned a 95 brisk speed rating from us. Clearly fast enough to win this race off of that. Came back her next race, caught slop. Last time she broke, got away slowly, didn't fire from off the pace. I'm drawing a line through that race. I expect this thing Council to show speed with Terry Thompson. Has a little bit of look at a price in race 7.
Yeah, a little bit of an erratic form on Istan Council. That Peruvian Appeal, Brad Cox, we talked about her yesterday with Brad. I also, you know, a horse that I, on first pass, I didn't really latch on to, but then I looked again. Furiously Fast, the Cassie Live Oak filly in there, is making her first start on dirt, and she has every license to leap forward. She was okay on the synthetic, but she might be a quantum bit better on a dirt surface. So, Furiously Fast, 8-1.
And even like check out the your listeners, check out that race after the Smarty Jones. It's a pretty nice little 3-year-old maiden race going a mile and a 16th. Asmussen has Laughing Fox in there. Sharp has Proud Nation, and Dallas Stewart has this Passion Play, who looks like it's going to get bet way down from 4-1.
Well, and Proud Nation, by all rights, Proud Nation, you know, runs his race. He should win, but there's a few things going on in there. Actually, I tried to tiptoe through a little bit in the nightcap in the pick four, but I also thought Van Meter was okay with the Brush Country.
Van Meter for a step forward. Me really well, so yeah, I mean, he's one to watch out for early in the Oaklawn session.
Three terrific cards to start the season at Hot Springs. Let's turn to Gulfstream, James, and take us through your prime action on Saturday.
Well, you know, I'll just start. I'll start with the. A lot of tough races. How many Dynamite races? I thought in race number six, I'm not too worried about those outside posts. Obviously, Capital Temptress, there's a chance that she could scratch out of there. That would definitely enhance the chances, I think, of number 14, Andina Del Sur. I think she really fits well there, likes the course and the distance, was a little bit of a, you know, unlucky second last time by head. So if she gets that trip with Saez in the outside post, I think she's extremely live for Albertani in race number six. Race number, I'll just go down to the Hooper. I'm on Breaking Lucky with the cold front coming out. I think his defection is going to help Breaking Lucky's chances on the front end. I love a horse coming off a sharp race like that, Steve. I thought that was a huge performance last time on December 7th. This 7-year-old looks like he's coming into form for George Weber to me off that effort. And I think he's not catching the toughest competition in there, and he's going to be tough as nails.
Got a little bit of an endorsement from Caton Bradar just before you joined us as well on Breaking Lucky. What else you like?
And, you know, in the McKnight, I'm going to use for sure number 12, Village King. I do think the distance is the big question mark surrounding him. But he was crossing off the Tinian horse back in 2017. His last couple races on the main track have been pretty solid. And, he's got back. He ran well as well in allowance races in his first two attempts on the turf, or his second attempt at least he ran well. So switching back to the turf for Pletcher, he looks a little intriguing to me in that race, number 12, Village King. The Pegasus. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'll say the same thing I said with Nick. I had a big dollar sign question mark next to Village King and trying to figure out, you know, where he fit in here. And Nick liked him as a C, and I like the fact that you took a shine to him as well.
Yeah, and I'll just say in the Pegasus World Turf, I'm just not sure Magic Wand is going to be geared up for a January race for Coolmore and O'Brien. They get their horses so ready for the fall, Steve, it seems to me. And, that the Japanese filly does look very dangerous, obviously, that Arrow Whip. Obviously could use Yoshida and Bricks and Mortars as well. I mean, that's a spread race. But a horse that intrigues me is number 5, Next Shares. And I'll tell you, I really thought that he's gotten a lot better. He got a lot better at age 5 for Baltus last year. And I thought that was a sneaky effort last time, stretching out to a mile and 1/8 and dropping off the pace like he did and making that big run to get up by a nose in the final stride. I mean, that gives me encouragement that he's going to be, you know, more than a miler type, going to be able to handle longer distances this year at 6. And I just think he's going real well now for Baltus. So he's definitely one to consider at least underneath for your exotic wagers, number 5, Next Shares.
Absolutely. And in the feature.
in the future, you know, I'm against City of Light. I just think he's like, you know, I know that he settled like back last year in the spring when he won that Oakland handicap, but you know, he was just so on the muscle and headstrong in that Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And then, you know, just watching the video of his work, that last half-mile work, I mean, I just don't know from post three if there's any settling him. I think it favors between the two top contenders. I think the setup favors Accelerate. But a horse that I will not let beat me in is my top pick in the race, is number four, Seeking the Soul. I thought Dallas got him really good last fall. He ran, when he ran second in the Dirt Mile, you know, two turns is his game. And after that, I think they work backwards from this Pegasus World Cup. Used that Clark handicap as just a stepping stone. Didn't get a lot of pace in there. Just sort of ran an even third. But, you know, he's really cranked up his training in recent weeks, it looks like. I went by that barn down there in the fairgrounds, and they've been raving about how well he's been training the last couple moves. And, you know, it just looks like to me he's going to get a good setup. I don't know if he, you know, he's going to have to outkick Unavera, because I think the race sets up for both those horses. And then, you know, they're going to have to get by Accelerated, theoretically, in the stretch. But at the odds, 12-1 morning line, I like number four, Seeking the Soul.
Excellent. James, it should be just a fabulous three-day weekend, even though, you know, today technically, you know, isn't part of the weekend, but with Oaklawn getting started and Sam Houston as well, and of course now Sam Houston does get the focus on them for Sunday. Don't forget, we're going to talk to Mary Rampolini next, in fact, so we'll get a little Sam Houston in. Actually, not next. We got Hammer next, then Mary. Best of luck, James. We'll be betting along, and of course at Brisnet and at the Twin Spires blog roll, tons of support information for everything going on this weekend.
All right, Steve, thank you, and good luck to you.
James Scully, James_Scully111 on your Twitter machine. Let's take a break. I thought we were making up those lost 10 minutes, but, well, we made up 3 minutes. So we're doing okay. We've got Hammer jumping in next, Mary Rampolini, Rich Eng, and then we'll spend the last segment of the morning with Mike Welch and get the Clocker Report view from him. Back after this, Hour 3, Weekend Preview, Big Weekend.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The Brisnet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.